Freddie Mercury embodied everything about a rock superstar. He was a flamboyant showman, a charismatic frontman, and an inspiring singer and songwriter with a larger-than-life persona, leading Queen throughout a career that has now lasted 40 years. With 22 top 10 albums, including 9 number ones, 24 top 10 singles, 5 number ones, and received over 40 gold and platinum awards, 7 Ivor Novello awards, and they were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2001. Indeed, they are the top-selling British group after the Beatles, shifting over 150 million albums. Queen were the essence of great British rock, with Freddie Mercury reigning supreme until his untimely death in November 1991. But his legacy lives on. Had he lived, he would have been 65 this very week, and Queen celebrate their 40th anniversary with album reissues and remastered, book releases and an exhibition. So on the GTFM Rock Show tonight, we pay tribute to a rock legend, with contributions from Queen bandmates Brian May, Roger Taylor, Freddie's mother, Jer Bosara, and from various archive interviews, Freddie himself.
The way I look at myself, if I ever do, is I'm a man of extremes. If I didn't do this, I don't have anything to do. You know, I can't cook. I'm not very good at being a housewife.
I'm very disorganized at times, I'm organized at times, and I'm just me.
I have to be doing something every day. I want to earn my keep. I don't wake up every morning and say, oh, look, have I dried up, you know? I hate doing the same things again. I like to see what's happening now and try and sort of incorporate all those kind of forms into Queen. We all have our ups and downs, and we all have our limitations, and we all know that there are certain things you can't do. But, I mean, I don't want some asshole critic to tell me that.
And I want to do it my, you know, my way. I sound like Frank Sinatra.
I think every character is made up of a load of ingredients, and I just think I have a very soft side and a very hard side. On stage, I'm very strong. Nobody can get it. That's when I'm very powerful. But when I'm off stage, I can be very soft. So if the right person gets me, they'll find me that I'm very vulnerable, and I can be a real baby.
I'm not worried about sort of making mistakes and things like that. I think I'm too old for that.
I don't regret any of the things I did. I mean, what did you look like 10 years ago?
In a pretty cabinet, Anthony Cakes, she says, just like Marie Antoinette, building a remedy for Christopher Kennedy. And it's an invitation you can't decline. Caviar and cigarettes, well versed in etiquette, extraordinarily nice. She's a killer queen, gunpowder, jeopardy, dynamite with a laser beam. She never kept the same address. In conversation, she spoke just like a baroness. Little man from China went down to get your mind. Then again, incidentally, me that way inclined. Love you came naturally from Paris, naturally. Because she couldn't care less, fastidious and precise. She's a killer queen, gunpowder, gelatine, dynamite with a laser beam, guaranteed to blow your mind.
You can put a finger on things like that. It's just fate. It's sort of ingredient that we have, and it's a combination that seems to have worked. That doesn't mean we don't have egos. I mean, we all have terrible egos, and so there's always been talk of breaking up, and you know, there's been lots of very bad moods and things, and there's always been somebody or other, one of us saying, "Oh, I want to call it a day," and things, but. I don't know, I think things seem to be working out right all the time, so... But, I mean, there's no pill that we're taking to just keep together, you know, there's no sort of... You can't put a finger on it. I mean, if everybody preferred just the one type, then we wouldn't be selling so many records. The fact that we still do different things is to try and make sure we get a different audience as well. We certainly don't want to sort of discard early fans, because, I mean, they're always with us, I hope. But you always get that, yes. I mean, some people like, you know, when you come up with a song or an album, you won't get everybody liking everything. And the trademark of Queen, which I like, is just happens to be, it's like a coincidence, is that there are four writers that write very different material, and so it pleases maybe a wider span than most other groups. As far as I'm concerned personally, I want to write songs for everybody, you know. I don't, there's no way that I say this is only for a certain minority group, but it just seems to, it just gelled. I mean, it just, and then it sort of evolved. And we were basically still a rock and roll band, and we were doing heavy stuff, but then we had different writing capabilities. And through that, I mean, just we gathered a different audience, and I think all four of us still never like writing the same kind of song anyway. It's got to be interesting for you personally to start with. And then, so there wasn't a master plan or anything. We just seemed to like a batch of songs.
Queen's first single, Keep Yourself Alive, was released in 1973. Next up, guitarist Brian May talks about the origins of the Queen name.
We had this great list and we used to show it to everybody, and the one which people noticed and remembered was going to be the one which we chose, and it was by far, in a way, Queen was the one which sort of excited everybody, either positively or negatively, and so we thought that was a great name. There's plenty of resonances. Yes, there is this sort of royal kind of majestic kind of thing, which was useful to us as time went on. And Queen still meant sort of gay in those days, and there was that connotation, which was why some people got shocked, of course. And to me it was rather nice, because the whole thing, the whole feeling in the circle that we moved in, was that it didn't matter whether you were gay or straight, it didn't matter if you were black or white. Everybody was a spirit, everybody was a soul, and we were all the same. I remember the first time that we were on Sounds of the 70s, which was John Peel's show, but we were in the Radio Times. I think it's the first time we'd ever been mentioned anywhere in the press, and it had a list of our names: Brian May, Roger Meadows Taylor, John Deacon, and Freddie Pulsara. Freddie didn't like the look of it, didn't like the sound of it, and he just decided that he would change his name. Yes, it probably was a defining moment in some ways, but to us it was just, oh yes, he's changing his name.
I don't mind sort of actually genuine sort of well thought out criticism, you know, but I mean, of course you're going to get people review our albums without even listening to them and things like that, but I mean, that's the way of the world. And before I used to get really mad and start tearing my hair out, but now I don't have any more sleepless nights. I'm just I learned to live with it.
I think it did us quite a lot of good in the end, because on the next album, it was all around that period, we did an album called News of the World, which had a lot of harder stuff on it, and slightly more raw, and I think it sort of kicked us up the backside a bit, actually.
The Midwest of America suddenly perceived that Freddie might actually be gay, and that was shocking, and that was not really allowable, and it was a bit scary, so I think that contributed.
It's a process of growing up, you know, at experience, and I just think at this point in time, I think if I had long hair and fingernails and wearing the things, I would look ridiculous. I mean, I looked ridiculous then, but it worked.
It's very strange. I don't think most people cared, really. I mean, the media made such a big deal of it, but I don't think the people who were into the music really cared. That's my perception anyway, and all the girls who fancied Fred just didn't believe he was gay anyway. He was a golden goose, you know, and a goose which we had created.
The hardest thing is to actually, after all these years, is to actually maintain the level of success that you've achieved. That's the hardest thing, because I think when you go all the way up, you know, the only place is to come down, so that's the hardest. Thank you.
go listen to this one.
Look into my eyes and you see I'm the only one. You've captured my found you. I love you.
The brilliant live version of You Take My Breath Away from the remastered Day at the Races album. It is our special tribute to Freddie Mercury on his 65th, what would have been his 65th birthday. More in just a mo. The Rock Show on GTFM 107.9 with me, Andy Fox. It's our tribute to Freddie Mercury on the week when he would have got his bus pass, of course. He was would have been 65 years young this particular week. So let's continue with the music after those two. Classics, of course, We Will Rock You and We Are the Champions from the 1977 album, News of the World.
It's a kind of magic. It's a kind of magic. A kind of magic.
In the early days, when Queen was born, they were saying, oh, when are you going to do your solo project? And the funny thing is, like, Roger, you know, Roger Taylor, the drummer, he's done two solo projects, and Brian's done a solo project. And I'm virtually the last one to do it, and I just wanted it to be the right time, you know, in the right place. And it's something in me that I wanted to do, and it's a challenge anyway, it's a challenge. I wanted to write a batch of songs that actually came out under the name Freddie Mercury, so... why not, you know, and I think the time and place is right. I think most people write songs which are inside them. In the end, I think what actually comes out is me, and sometimes I don't even know I'm actually doing it, and they sort of catch up on me afterwards. And most of the songs he writes, they're all love ballads and things to do with sadness and torture and pain, and at the same time, it's frivolous and tongue-in-cheek. So that's basically my whole nature, I guess. I write songs that a lot of people have written before. It's all to do with love and emotion. You know, I'm just a true romantic. And I think everybody's written songs in that field, but I just write it in my own way, so that they carry a different sort of... it's a different texture or whatever. And so basically, I'm not sort of writing anything new, but I mean, I think I'm writing about things that everyday people go through. So I mean, you know, even though a lot of people have fallen in love and a lot of people have fallen out of love, people are still doing it. So I'm still writing songs about that in different atmospheres. So I mean, I think most, because I feel I have gone through all those, and so basically I'm sort of encompassing, I'm actually gathering that research, which is my own, and putting them into songs. So I can't help it, it's just automatic. And I'd love to write songs about something totally different, but they all seem to end up in a very emotional and tragic way. I don't know, maybe I'm a very tragic person, I don't know why. Seem to have been doing this for so long that it's so in my blood. I don't know what else to do. You know, I just I'd be very vulnerable, and I wouldn't know what to do. So I think I just have to keep doing it. It's not having to keep doing it. Of course, you know, I've made a lot of money. I could live beautifully and wonderfully for the rest of my life. But I have a nervous energy that needs to be doing something. I can't relax in bed all day and just do nothing. I think it's a waste of time. It's a nervous energy that I have, and I write music, and I just want to keep doing that. And I have a lot of songs, and I enjoy doing them.
Freddie Mercury and Queen reigned supreme throughout the 70s, 80s and 90s with 5 number one singles, worldwide album sales of over 100 million and a majestic performance at Live Aid in 1985, which seemed to invigorate their career, followed by a massive tour in 1986. But all was not well with Freddie.
At the time we were doing these other tracks after Innuendo, we'd had the discussion and we knew that we were totally on borrowed time because Freddie had been told that he wouldn't even make it to that point. So our plan was just go in there whenever Freddie felt well enough. We just lived there for a while until we were always at the end of a phone. Freddie would say, I can come in today for a few hours. And what we would do would be just make the best use we could of him. You know, that's what he asked. He said, you know, just get me to sing anything you can. You know, write me anything and I'll sing it and I'll give you as much material as I can.
At the end of the Magic Tour, biggest tour we've ever done, finishing up with Nebworth after two nights at Wembley Stadium, he said, I don't want to do this anymore. It was kind of uncharacteristic because Freddie was always up for everything. And very strong, very optimistic. The fact that he was quite definite about the fact that he didn't want to do it was something different. And we thought, well, maybe it's just a phase he's going through, or maybe there's something wrong. I remember having that thought in my head. But you pushed that thought out. And we did for years after that.
And then one day, quite a lot later, he decided he just had to sort of come clean. We all went see him, and he said, come round, I've got something to tell you, you know. And that's when he actually sort of told us all. We were completely devastated, really.
And he said, look, you probably know what I'm dealing with. I don't want to talk about it ever again. I just want to get on, make music until I drop. Here we are in the studio making this album, and we're not even sure if Freddie can finish it because he's been told by his doctors he may not make it to the end. So we're kind of on borrowed time. And Freddie will come in for short periods and then disappear. So you're trying to construct all this stuff so that when he comes in, he can make the most of his time. Too much love will kill you every time.
I used to bring you sunshine. Now all I ever do is bring you down.
Of course, you never knew what was going to be the last bit. You never knew. You just did another bit and another bit and another bit. And we had some great times. We really did.
You're the last person I'm talking to, so you probably get the best interview, darling, don't you?
I don't want to change the world.
To me, happiness is the most important thing. If I'm happy, then it shows in my work.
In the end, all the mistakes and all the excuses are down to me. I'd like to feel that I'm just being my honest self. And as far as I'm concerned, I just want to pack in as much of life and fun, having a good time, as much as I can within the years I have. Well, there you are, you have it on tape. Use it. But it's the nearest I've come to a lot of passion in terms of interviews.
Empty spaces, what are we living for? Abandoned places,
were very lucky that we had those fantastic times.
We were together for most of my adult life, you know, since I was not much more than 20, I was doing stuff with Freddie. And it's really like losing a brother.
The 45-year-old lead singer of Cream died peacefully at his home in London.
Fans and friends in paying tribute to the singer Freddie Mercury, who died late last night from AIDS.
At midnight, it was announced that Freddie Mercury had died peacefully at his London home.
Dedicated to their lead singer, Freddie Mercury, who died last night of AIDS.
He died on Sunday after revealing that he was suffering from AIDS.
45-year-old Queen singer who died yesterday, a bronchial pneumonia brought on by AIDS.
His spokesman said he died peacefully last night at his West London home.
Meanwhile, fans from across the country are expected to come here to Freddie Mercury's home to pay their tribute to a man regarded as one of the best in the business.
He got worse and worse and worse, and in the end we were just visiting him at home. And then towards the very end, it was quite apparent that he didn't have long. And the house was surrounded by cameramen and press and all that. And I was actually on my way to visit him when he rang me up and said, "You don't come," you know. And that was quite... Yeah, that, even then, it was a shock, knowing it was coming, but, it's always a shock, isn't it?
The music world has been paying tribute to Freddie Mercury, the lead singer with the rock group Queen. He died last night, just 24 hours after saying he had AIDS.
Fans at his home in West London mourned the best-known British star to have died from the disease. But AIDS charities believe his greatest gift to his fans was to have openly admitted he was a sufferer.
I still think that people will remember him forever. Because after all these years, people write to me and they think of him that he is one of the greatest.
There's no time for us. There's no place for us.
We hope you enjoyed our special tribute to the one and only, the late, great Freddie Mercury, of course, who would have been 65 years old this particular week. I wonder what he would have been doing. I'm sure he's looking down on us somewhere. Freddie Mercury tribute was an RPM production. And don't forget, next week on The Rock Show, we have a special live guest. It is Don Airey from Deep Purple. If you want to email him a question, it's rockshow@gtfm.co.uk. Until the very next time, from me, Andy Fox, whatever you do, keep doing the things that make you feel good. A very good night, and indeed, God bless.